At the seminary, each person was assigned a house job to do around the building in addition to their studies and other things. So some people would help decorate the chapel for the change in liturgical seasons. Other people were assigned to be masters of ceremonies for liturgies. Others were assigned to help in the refectory with serving meals and things like that. But they found out in my first year, before we were supposed to have house jobs, that I had some skills with technology, and so immediately that became my life for the next 3 years, 3.5. And at one point, I was sitting doing homework around 8 p.m., and I saw an email come in from our IT department. And I looked at it, and it said, your inbox is overfilled, you need to log in here and clear it out and enter your password. And it didn't seem quite right, partly because I knew our IT staff, and there was no way they'd be working at 8 p.m. So I looked a little closer, and I looked at the email address, and it didn't come from our server. It came from some, let's say, Eastern European country. And so I immediately tried to reach out to the faculty to have them tell the students, you know, don't click this link. But I couldn't get a hold of anybody. I couldn't get a hold of the vice rector, the other vice rector, nobody. So I sent a house-wide email out saying, don't click the link. If you did click the link, don't enter your password. If you did enter your password, change your password immediately. As soon as I hit send, I got a call to my room from one of our faculty members. Dennis, how do I change my password? As soon as I got off the phone with him, I got a call from another faculty member. Yeah, can you just come up here? We all know that we shouldn't click links in spam emails. We all know there are people out there fishing for our passwords and information. And yet, they do it because every day, some of us are gullible enough to click the link and to enter our password or social security number or credit card information or whatever. It works. That's why they do it. Even though we might say in the moment, who's silly enough to click that link, right? Today in our gospel, we hear about temptation, Jesus being tempted, and I think often many of us have that same attitude. Well, of course, temptation's out there, but who's stupid enough to give into it? It's going to be obvious, right? I'm going to know I'm being tempted. But that's not how the devil works. The devil makes it look like a good thing. He makes it look legitimate. He doesn't need to lead you far astray. As my spiritual director said, the devil doesn't break the truth. He just bends it enough that you end up going in the wrong direction. We must be on guard for temptation. We cannot assume we'll recognize it when we see it, because the devil offers legitimate goods. In our gospel today, he comes to Jesus and says, you're hungry. You're the Son of God. You have the power. Turn these stones into bread and eat. Why do you need to be hungry? The end in and of itself isn't bad, but what he's asking of Jesus is, you're the Son of God. The whole world belongs to you anyway. I'll give it to you. Just worship me. The end isn't bad. The world belongs to Jesus. He should rightfully have it all. But the means to get there? How often do we fall into temptation, not because we're not trying to do the right thing, but because we don't think about how we're doing it or where that impulse is coming from? Brothers and sisters, God gave you reason. Sin and good is an act of the will. It is choosing to do what is good or choosing to do what is evil. And yet too often we don't take the time to think that through. We act on emotions, feelings, what's right in front of us, or the end is good, so I'm just going to do it without thinking about how we're going to get there. Take, for instance, correcting a sinner or instructing the ignorant. These are good things. We should do that. But do we ever think about how? Do we go about it with charity, with love, with compassion, with mercy? Or are we out there berating people, shouting them down, making them hurt so that they'll listen to us? That's a temptation from the devil. That's him working through our anger, our instincts, our emotions, rather than using our reason, rather than taking a step back to evaluate, is this right? Or is this a temptation too? Is the devil trying to lead me astray? There are two basic temptations on either side of the spectrum that we can fall into with temptation. One is this, that ignorance of temptation, thinking, oh, I'll recognize it, it'll be obvious, and not being on guard for it, and being led astray even when we think we are doing good. And the other is like it. The devil uses our temptation to make us think that we've already sinned. You know, I feel angry at somebody, so I must be sinning. No, not necessarily. What did you choose to do with that anger? Did you yell at them or not? Did you act patiently and lovingly even though you feel anger or not? Just because we're being tempted doesn't mean we're sinning. And the devil can use that to drive us into despair. I'm sinning all the time. I'm angry. I'm having these thoughts. These things pop into my head. I must be a terrible person, and there's nothing I can do to be saved. No, brothers and sisters, what you choose matters. God gave you reason. During this time of Lent, we need to take a step back from just acting, from just doing, from just clicking the link, and think about it a little more. What's truly going on here? What am I being led to? Where does Christ call me in the midst of all this? And does it from A to Z, every step along the way, conform to His will? Or is the devil twisting it just a little bit, just enough to lead me away from Christ? God gave you reason, brothers and sisters, and it is what separates us from the animals. We don't just act on instinct or emotion, even when the good is perceived. God gave you this gift, the ability to reason out good and evil. For the love of God, use it. Think about what is being offered to you and how you're being offered a way to obtain it, so that we may truly follow Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He tells us that the gate is narrow and the path is straight. Don't let the devil twist it. Don't give in to his lies. It can be easy to think that we are righteous, we are doing good, and the devil is just twisting it enough to lead us away from Christ. If you're looking for something good to read this Lent, C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, even though, yes, he wasn't Catholic, and yes, Father Aaron has an unhealthy obsession with him, you know, it is ultimately a good book. Read it and see some of the temptations that the devil uses. That crying child in Mass that annoys or distracts us to make us angry, or a squeaky kneeler judging our neighbor who's not praying as well as we are. Even in the midst of our righteousness, coming to church, the devil will try and pull you away. You must not let him. You must use the reason God gave you. Engage the scriptures. Engage prayer this Lent. Make room for silence and self-reflection so that we can discern what is truly of God and what is of the evil one. Brothers and sisters, it may seem stupid to click the link, but we all do it. Think about it first. Give yourself the room to see where God is at work and to discern the lies of the devil.